The portal is about to bust wide open, and it's going to be basically free agency in college football. The spring game's coming up in less than a week, and we have a fully loaded episode for you guys today. So, Noel Nation, thank you for joining us. I'm Jesse. That's Michael from Plant the Spear, and we are excited to get into some football talk today. Michael, before we jump into this one, how are you, my friend? And thanks for joining me.
Oh, Jesse, thanks for having me on again. Man, I'm great, ready for the spring football game that's coming up, and excited and yet nervous for the portal season. It's kind of like Christmas, but also trick or treat. Like, are we going to get a trick or are we going to get a treat for the portal? So, little early Halloween Christmas reference for you there.
Yeah. This is a time where Florida State fans typically we feel great. I mean, you have a staff with a really impressive track record in the portal. It can work the other way sometimes, right, too. So we're going to talk about all that. You know, Michael, you remember probably about 10, 15 years ago before Amazon and all that stuff was popular. And like you would go to the mall and they would have everybody waiting at Black Friday to, you know, body slamming grandmas that's over right. Elmos and stuff like that. Like they open the doors and everybody just floods. And that's pretty much what the portal has become in college football.
Absolutely.
Like when they say go, it just busts open. So to start with, they have sectioned this off. Okay. Right. I think we'll back that up. First off, with the portal in general, they have sectioned this off. It is now different periods to kind of help with how people are transitioning. They still need to do some more work because the winter one is still very ill-timed. But the spring one coming up starts on April 16th, which may be the day you're watching this, maybe a little bit after, and it runs through the 30th. You got a two-week window for players to start looking for a new home. Now, some people think the portal is not sustainable. Over time, less guys are going to come in and things like that. Well, the last time it opened in the winter session, over 2,000 players entered the portal. So it is going anywhere. There were over 100 blue chip players up for grabs in the portal after that last session. So from what people are saying, some of the rumblings out there by the national outlets and things like that that I've been reading and seeing, they expect this to be one of the more crazy portal periods because of basically all the rules have been stripped away and you know, tampering is still a thing here. But like you said, man, it's a giveth and a taketh. And I think right now, when you look at what Florida State has done so far, they brought in 15 transfers overall. They had the number 4 transfer class, according to the 247 composite, with 10 blue chip players. So, I mean, we've been plucking fruit off the tree.
Right.
So it has worked out well for us. But do keep in mind that players can, they only have to enter by the 30th. They don't have to be committed. So this is not like we have everybody that's possibly we're going to get by the end of the 2 week period. You know, you still have to wait for spring to wrap up. This is going to lead into coaches having exit interviews. Maybe you are part of the plans. Maybe you're not part of the plans. And that's when you start to see a lot of attrition. And with Florida State wrapping things up, they have one more practice after the spring game, which happens on the 20th. That's probably when you're going to start to see some movement after everything wraps up. But again, man, they have done well in the portal, so you have to trust their process. I think that's very important. But, you know, the portal's not even open, and we've already seen players hinting at getting in with Greedy Vance. Right. So, man, it's a numbers game, too. I will say that. It's a numbers game. You have the 85 scholarship limit.
That's right.
Florida State is currently dealing with some sanctions where they're docked a few scholarships for the next couple of years. So they still have about somewhere around 8 or 9 players too many. So here's the thing. We're not trying to talk about players transferring because we don't want them to be here.
Correct.
Or we're not saying they're bad players. But players are going to transfer. They are going to leave. It's just part of the process. You don't have infinite scholarships. And for what it's worth, in the NIL era, you can be a walk-on, and they can pretty much pay your way through school. So scholarship limits aren't exactly a hard line in the sand like they used to be. But it's still, you know, I mean, again, it's a numbers game, and there's going to be movement because not only are you 8 or 9 players over, you also want to add some pieces. So I expect anywhere from, you know, at least probably 7 to 10 or more guys to enter the portal, and it's just waiting to see who it shakes out to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ever since that case came out in Tennessee where Tennessee took basically the NCAA to court to sue over the number of times that, well, they took the NCAA to court to sue over them being able to offer NIL inducement payments. But then the students there was a couple of football players in West Virginia that sued the NCAA over the number of times of transfer. Well, once the NCAA walked back the one-time limited transfer rule, it was, like you said, I love the opening. It was Black Friday. It's Black Friday. Right. You can transfer. You could literally transfer in during the winter and transfer out during the spring. That's how crazy this is. And in some ways, you know, it's how it should be. If coaches can move around freely, then players should. Now, I do think, again, and we can get in this another episode, but I do think there needs to be some regulation to this, because it makes a coach's job almost impossible to you have to re-recruit your roster in a 3-month time span. So right. I do think that's crazy. But again, like you said, we're not the names that we're going to talk about today. This is not Plant the Spear saying we want them to transfer. We want them out.
Right.
These are just our best guesstimate as to who might be potential transfer portal candidates based on just kind of their time here at Florida State, just kind of some of the runs we're seeing in spring. That's why the spring game is really important, because you're going to get to see whether those players and others that maybe we won't mention today has an opportunity to be a transfer portal candidate. If they don't get a lot of run, their names are not getting mentioned, if they're getting buried on the depth chart, as well as, like I said, this is why I said trick or treat, because that's the trick of, you know, potentially losing somebody you didn't think or you don't want to lose, versus also Florida State's going to go in the portal. We've seen it every year. Yep. That in that springtime, they're bringing in somebody. And last year, we got the best Christmas present we didn't even know was coming, which was Keon Coleman, right?
Right.
And so I think this is an opportunity for Mike Norvell and that staff to really, like you said, have those conversations with those players to say, hey, man, we love you. We appreciate you. But there's not a lot of plans for you here. And so this might be an opportunity to help you find a place that will set you up for success. And they're going to have to do that anyways, because like you said, they're kind of over the scholarship limits with the restrictions and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so I just think that I just want to caution FSU fans that as the portal opens on the 16th, that we not lose our minds when somebody jumps in that we didn't want to. And we don't lose our minds when somebody that we wanted to just leave, don't leave. It's all a game that this coaching staff has managed, and they've proven over the last several years that they're the kings of managing this thing.
Yeah, and I think the other one not to overreact to as well is if there's a little bit of smoke that a player's coming to visit, or they right. or maybe they're interested and Florida State doesn't land that's them, we point. Don't know how the interview right. went. We don't know how the fit was. We don't know what other offers they have on the table. So that's you right. can't just automatically, you know, flush everything down the commode because they didn't get one guy or that's or right. you're like you said, you're gonna see some guys that might break your heart leave that, right. that you're a fan of. Like when Trayshawn Ward left. That yes. I mean, that was generally I think hurt the fan base.
Yes.
Because, you know, you had watched his journey from a walk-on get there. Now, I think in the portal era, you make a good point with the transfer rules basically wiped away is yeah. that it's getting harder to build quality depth.
That's
because
right.
you start to have some of your twos that get the opportunity to be ones somewhere else, and they're looking for playing time. And
that's right.
in the case of a senior, which is what we will talk about with some of these position groups here, if it's their last year of eligibility, they have right. to go get playing time. It's not that's about right. like, oh, they're being selfish, or oh, they're just chasing a check. Like some guys just got to go. You only get so many opportunities to put things that's on right. tape. But you are going to see some guys that are going to be, you know, a little bit disappointing to see them leave. But I think, it's all part of the process of roster attrition and the continuously elevating talent level.
That's right.
And for what it's worth, Florida State has done a pretty good job of not losing a lot of their top-end talent. Now, you've seen some guys who were rotational pieces that went other places. And I think this is one thing that is important to mention with Florida State is when you look at the culture that Florida State has, when you look at the success on the field that they have, when you look at the NIL support that they have from the battles in, I think they're yeah. in one of the best positions in the country to go yeah. out and acquire talent in the portal. And I don't know that players, because they get bad advice all the time, but I don't yeah. know that players are when they're going to start grasping the fact that you see guys leave and go, like Derek McClendon went to Colorado,
yep.
basically turned out to be nothing. And so it's like, when are you going to realize sometimes you got to stay and let yep. the process play out versus looking for a greener pasture and then find out that it's not a greener pasture?
Yeah. I mean, can I just give you a case, Jesse? And this is not to disparage the kid, because I loved having Rodney Hill as a part of this football program.
Oh, that's a perfect example.
It's a perfect example. The kid transfers to FMU for whatever reason, and great, we love FMU. We love FAMU. But then after Willie Simon leaves, he transfers to the U, which in all of our case was a terrible idea, whatever. Right. And then it just got announced as of re-recording this episode that he's back in the transfer portal again yeah. because he never enrolled at Miami. Why? Because this kid has gotten bad advice from the people around him. And had he stayed at Florida State, we're not coaches. We're not there every day. But Jesse, wouldn't you have bet a lot of money he's going to get significant playing time this year. He was one of the core backs from last year.
Right. He would have been part of the plans, but I think that's where you see guys try and leverage NIL and leverage the portal and say, look, I'm going to go explore other options. And, you know, sometimes you find out that you get rug pulled where it's like, guess what? Hey, go take that offer. We appreciate it. Go ahead. And so, right, deuces. And so they just let you go. And I think that is something where people hopefully are finding out that maybe it's not always better to chase that. And I don't think every kid in the portal is purely looking for a check. And so I think the framework that Florida State has of having that culture, that success on the field now, the NIL support, and the ability to look, we've developed all these transfers at a high level. Right. We're about to put a bunch of them in the NFL.
That's right.
Florida State is a transfer destination. So you will see guys leave, but you will see them replaced with some big talent. Now, one thing that I want to touch on, talking about rules, that before we get into some of these position groups and things like that, there is one interesting rule when looking at the transfer portal in the spring window that I think is going to probably play a major part in some of these. And that is coming from the SEC. So the SEC, they've debated on changing this rule, but they have not yet. In the spring session only, this is why you didn't see this in the winter session with the last portal go around, but in the spring session, you cannot, as a undergraduate, not a grad transfer, you're pretty much free to do what you want there. You cannot transfer to another SEC program and be eligible in the fall.
Whoa.
And that includes Texas and Oklahoma now. And like, I double checked this to make sure that it was still in place. And from everything that I could find, it was. And so if you have someone that, say, leaves Georgia or LSU or Alabama or something like that in the spring session, I think there's two ways to look at this. One, those players are now going to be looking for a place to land. Now, that leaves you basically, like we know of, Big Ten, ACC, and the Big 12. Well, if you're coming from an SEC school, what's the only schools in the Southeast? Basically, like you and Clemson, you got Miami in there and things like that are non-SEC teams. So that could very much benefit you. Now, on the flip side of that, look, this should not be an issue, but we know good and well tampering exists.
Oh, you know it does.
If you can't take an SEC transfer as an SEC team, you have to go look elsewhere.
Yep.
And so if you have, through back channels, people inducing, trying to get, you know, lure people away from your roster, you also have one of the most talented non-SEC rosters.
That's right.
So that kind of makes you prime for picking. So that's a good and a bad type of thing. But I thought that rule was really interesting that maybe a lot of people didn't know that I think will influence this transfer portal season. Because, you know, if you can't go to another SEC school, that benefits Florida State, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, the other thing I do want to mention before we kind of break this down by position group of how we're feeling. And like you said, this is not a dish on any players. This is not who we think is going to leave. I almost kind of debated on not even mentioning names. But this is just us as people who are kind of plugged into the program and the happenings, looking at it through our eyes and saying, this is what we kind of expect. It's still a guessing game until players enter. Because you know, it's so confusing, man. You would think, okay, well, when I saw Greedy Vance, I was like, well, didn't he sign with the Battles End? That's usually a sign that you're staying. Exactly. Didn't matter. So you really can't guarantee anything. Now, the last thing I want to point out before we start jumping into Florida State's roster is you also have teams like Michigan, Washington, Arizona, Alabama, all these ones that went through late cycle coaching changes that have not gotten their opportunity to raid rosters, whereas they have been picked apart like some roadkill, you know, laying on the side of the road. You can't fight back. You just got to deal with it. Now it's going to be their turn. And so, you know, a team like Alabama is probably going to be loosening the purse strings to try and get some talent in there after they lost everything that they did. So you're going to have some big players in there. So I think that is just a couple of things that I wanted to mention before we get into this. So now let's jump into Florida State's roster. We'll start just kind of running through the position groups relatively quick and just kind of go through what Florida State has. Do we think what do they need and who's our concerns for leaving? So when you start with the quarterback position, this is obviously one where you feel pretty good about what you got. This quarterback room is stacked. Now, the good thing is with DJU, things were a little bit, he came into camp a little bit heavy. You know, there was some, he had the hand injury bothering him and things like that. But a lot of the late camp reports are that he is more athletic than he looks. He just can throw the ball, you know, halfway across the stadium with a flick of a wrist. So like, it looks like DJ is going to be what they need him to be.
Yeah.
And then you feel really good about everyone behind him. You feel good about Brock Glenn now with some experience. You know, he missed a lot of time. So, you know, I don't know how much of a real competition that is, but you feel like Brock Glenn is good enough to push him. And yep. Brock Glenn has had a great spring. So yeah, I know he got sidelined a little bit there as well. You also have the young guys, Luke Cromanhawk and Trevor Jackson, which I think helped get to fill out the depth in that room. They had to take a portal candidate the first time because they, you know, with Jordan Travis being out of eligibility and Tate Rodemaker moving on, you had to take somebody.
Right.
And so I think you're pretty much good here. My only concern is that somebody entices Brock Glenn with a starting role right now. That is my only concern for the quarterback room. But I think as far as going into the season, you're set. You don't need anything. You just got to focus on keeping everybody in the boat.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I'm right on par with you. I think this is a stacked quarterback room. Obviously, we've seen the best of Brock Glenn. We've seen the learning side of Brock Glenn.
Yep.
And if he can have a full year where he's, you know, understudy, I don't want to assume anything, but probably understudy to DJU. But if he can have a full year, well, he's going into 25 probably as the penciled in starter. Okay. That's what we got right now. But I, like you, have a worry, and I know we'll talk about this later. He might be potentially on my list of worries because, like you said, when these other programs start to assess their rosters and these programs that have deep NIL purses, and they start digging into that, somebody could come along and say, hey, look. And obviously, when we talk about tampering is not like them directly calling, you know, Brock. It's calling Brock's father's uncle's cousin's aunt, right? And then they pass the word up. That's how they do it, you know, so that they don't get caught tampering. But that's how it ends up happening. And somebody comes along and says, hey, not only are we going to pay you $800,000, but we got a starting job for you. Like, you're going to start here right now. I mean, who wouldn't? And Jesse, if it was your son and a power 2, power 3 program comes and tells you we got a starting job for you, aren't you going to tell your son to listen?
Well, it depends if they said the 800,000 part first, because I'm be like, boy, you better take that check.
Yeah.
Now, if it's Miami or Florida, we're gonna be a mole here. Oof. I'm sorry for your career, but I'm gonna need you to go in there and throw a few games, at least one a year. So, you know, it's all part of the master plan. So
that's right.
Maybe we'll start forming that now. But no, I do agree. And I don't think Brock Glenn is going to transfer.
No,
I don't.
No.
He's already signed with the Battles End. Of course, we just talked about how that doesn't necessarily lock you down. It's just a concern for 2024. Now, let's just say worst case scenario, he did get enticed somewhere else. I think you're fine for 2025. You still got Tramiel Jones coming in. You got two talented quarterbacks. I mean, you picked up a 4-star as a walk-on. That's huge. But you would be in a little bit of a tight spot for 2024 just for experience depth if something happened with DJU. But, you know, really, that's my only concern. I feel like you're pretty happy with what you got at the quarterback position. So moving down to running backs, this is a position group that is a little bit heavy.
It's crowded.
It's a little crowded. Now, I do believe that Florida State wants to keep all of these running backs because of the different skill sets that they offer, because they all bring something a little bit different to the table. But there are some similar sizes and games in there. When you just look at from Lawrence Tolofili, Roydell Williams, Keziah Holmes, they're all about the same size. Cam Davis is also around that same size, at 5'11", 6'1", 200-plus pounds back. Now, they do different things, but for me, I think you don't necessarily need to go add a running back.
Correct.
That I'm pretty confident in saying. You know, maybe if there's a game changer, maybe you kick the tires on him. We'll see. But I don't know that. I don't know that you risk it. I think you're good enough with what you have. Now, as far as guys going out, I think obviously Lawrence Tofili is going to be your feature back here. I think you're pretty much safe there. Roydell Williams, I mean, you, like you mentioned earlier, man, you can transfer in one semester and transfer right back out. But I don't think that's going to be the case. You know, he's with the Battles End. He's probably going to be the number two back. I feel good about him there. Jalen Lucas, that's a guy that comes in as a junior that is kind of a gadgety package guy. He's also going to get a lot of work and probably be your starting returner.
Yep.
I think that's him at slot too.
So.
Right. I think that's enough to keep him engaged. I think Cam Davis obviously just signed. I don't think he's going anywhere. You don't have to worry about that. I think he's going to get some playing time this year. Makai Danzy is another guy that's not even on the team yet, but he's coming later too. Yep. So keep in mind, that's another freshman in the boat. The two that I worry about, and again, I have no indication that these guys are transferring, but would be obviously Sam Singleton, because you kind of get that guy that's, you know, it's like the middle child. You're just you're caught in the middle. And then Kaziah Holmes is the one that I worry about the most. And the reason I say that is because he is a redshirt senior. This is it for him. This is his final year. Last year, he did not play a ton, just 90 snaps. And I think 39 of them came in the Orange Bowl. Most of them came in kind of mop up duty. Again, he's, you know, he's 5'11", 215. And you have Cam Davis at 5'10", 221. And Roydell Williams at 5'10", 225. So you have some similarities there.
Yeah.
Now, he did sign with the Battle's End. So again, you feel good about him staying. And I'm a big fan of Kaziah Holmes. I think he brings a lot to the table. He has a really good mix of size and athleticism. But like, I just worry about if he's chasing playing time, that's going to be the guy that's highest on my list from the running back position.
Yeah, he's my number one, and then Sam Singleton is probably my number two. And you remember, if you FSU fans watching this or listening right now, Sam Singleton came in with a lot of hype. I mean, he was one of the top recruits coming in last year, and we were all excited about him. And it just, this is the nature, Jesse, of, you know, we've talked about this before in previous episodes about the running back position, and it's a similar thing with the linebacker. In the NFL, you're starting to see less of importance on having that star back, because the makeup is, well, anybody can run the ball. You know, it's all about the intangibles. Can you get in between tackles? What's your north, south, east, west speed, right? How you make people miss in a phone booth, all those things, right?
Unless you're Derrick Henry,
I mean, and I hate to say this because it's like disparaging running backs. It's a hard job, but it is really being the running back is being seen as, well, we can always just go get another one. It's just easier, right?
Right.
Like, you can't just go get another quarterback. You just can't go get another like really good slot receiver or deep receiver, right? You can't go get another DT or DN or defensive back. But the linebacker in the running back position feels a lot of that, like, oh, we could just go get another one. And you look at this room, this running back room, I mean, it's deep, it's good. And so you're having to fight for playing time through all of that. And so you just worry that, like you said, for Kaziah Holmes, I mean, this is it. This is his last year. Yeah. He's got nothing after this. He's done with college football. So if he's going to make a difference, you know, this is going to be the year. And we'll see it when spring comes and when it's over, if he feels like he can still do that here at Florida State, or if he wants to go find a place that where he's going to get some significant snaps. The thing that's working in Sam's or in FSU favor, at least for Sam Singleton, is that this is only his second year. He's a redshirt freshman. So he might say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give it the year. I'm going to see how I kind of end up at the end of the season. And then I'll make that decision there. So he might give it one more go. I would be surprised if he, you know, gave it one more go and didn't see the field at all, if he's still on this roster at the end of the football season. My hope is that he will give it one more go, but we'll see.
Yeah, because he flashed when he got it. I mean, he's got incredible speed. And I think you're right. I think what helps with Singleton is that you have the three seniors at the top of the depth chart. So if you lose all those guys, I mean, those starting snaps are going to be up for grabs next year. Right. And Jalen Lucas might come back because he's only a junior. But again, that's just a different skill set. He's 5'8". You need more than that. And so I think Florida State could entice him with that to stay. Again, you just worry about guys waiting around for their opportunity. You know, a lot of times now people just want to go look for something right now. But if he can be patient, I think that that's good as well there. But yeah, man, I think like with Kaziah, again, man, I'm a huge fan of Kaziah. I've been kind of on his hype train for a long time that I think he could be a special player for Florida State. But if you're also being honest, you know, he didn't start at Penn State in 2 years.
That's right.
And then came to Florida State, was in the system. You know, he came early in 2022 and was not allowed to play, but he was allowed to practice. So you basically had almost an entire year in the system before 2023 hit, and he played less than Rodney Hill did.
That's right.
As a freshman. So to me, like when you just look at the snap counts, that's my biggest concern for running back there. But at the same time, if you lose one, I don't think it's going to hurt you too. Yep. I still think you're fine just because I think Cam Davis is ready to contribute right now. And so I think you're okay with that. So now, Michael, let's move on to, you ever seen those like those competitions where it's like, how many people can you fit in a phone booth?
Yeah.
It feels like that's the wide receiver room.
My
like
goodness.
How many players can we fit in that position group meeting room? So right now, Florida State has 13 scholarship wide receivers on the roster. And that's a ton. Now, this is an interesting one because let's start with the needs. And okay. we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show, where I feel like Florida State's portal needs are, there's an asterisk by it when you talk about the wide receiver position.
That's
there's
right.
There's an if here, if I may. When you look at the wide receiver position, I don't think, as it stands right now on April the 15th, I don't think you need anybody. I think you're good with what you got.
Yep.
But I think if there's two situations here, where I think you might need to kick the tires on somebody. I think first off, if another Keon Coleman falls in your lap,
get him.
They're going to take him. Like if Keon Coleman 2.0 is available, they're going to take him.
It, back the Brink truck up. Yep.
Right. We talked about this in the pre-show where we said, look, there ain't much from Willie Taggart's time that you can hang your hat on. But one of the things I saw in one of his interviews with some players was like, look, it's your job to come in and win the starting spot. It's my That's job right. to find someone to take your job.
That's right.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, and you got to put the most talented player on the field. And if you can get that type of Keon Coleman, you're going to take him. Now, Absolutely. The other situation here is, let's say hypothetically, we don't know the extent of Destin Hill's injury.
That's right.
If you're one of those that read between the lines, it doesn't sound entirely promising. Now, I have literally zero information that says he's not going to be ready by the
Correct.
Fall. But just reading the tea leaves, there's not a lot of upbeat in that conversation. But you also run the risk of when we talk about biggest concerns to leave, this receiving core has six seniors in it.
Yes, it does.
And five of those are red shirts, or excuse me, five seniors, four are red shirts. So if you have a guy like Hakeem Williams come in and take that number two spot, like we assume out of your seniors that Malik Benson is going to be your starter at your X or your outside guy. Depending on Destin Hill's status, you would think that Ja'Kai Douglas will be your slot. So who's going to be the other guy? Who's going to be your Y? Who's going to be the other receiver on the outside? If Hakeem Williams steps into that starting role, I think you're going to lose one of your seniors, more than likely. And that comes down to Deuce Spann, Kentron Portier, and Darian Williamson. Now, again, these are all guys that if they don't play this year, that's it. That's their only opportunity.
Yep.
Now, I think you have a good possibility of Kentron Portier still being that starter early in the season because he's more seasoned, he's more proven. And while Hakeem has looked physically ready to contribute, there's still been some drop issues and just kind of young player type of things. I think you're looking at Darian Williamson and Deuce Spann as maybe the two names that stand out from the group. And then another guy that I know you're going to touch on that you've harped on for a while is another one of those kind of middle guys, that middle child where you brought in a bunch of talented freshmen. And then you still kind of have Vandravius Jacobs hanging out there who had a really big spring last year, but didn't get on the field a whole lot. Now, I understand you primarily use three wide receivers.
That's right.
Hakeem had a slower spring and still found more playing time.
That's right. Absolutely. Like, well, let me start here with your two that you mentioned. You know, man, Deuce Spann was a project coming in from Syracuse, I believe it was. He was a quarterback.
Illinois.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Illinois. Coming in from Illinois, he was a quarterback, you know, transitioned to the wide receiver room. You know, he has shown some flashes. Obviously, he had that big kick return last season. He's shown some flashes. This is a candidate that, Jesse, I'll be honest with you, I've just not seen it really click with him.
Yeah.
And I hope he stays. I want all these guys to stay. I hope he stays, and I hope this is a season where he breaks out for 500 yards and six touchdowns. That'd be amazing, right?
Right.
But also, this is it. Like you said, this is it. Him and Darian Wilson, this is it. And so if this doesn't click this spring, you know, it would make sense in all the world if we saw their names pop up in the transfer portal because this is it for them. And so I will acknowledge that when it comes to Vandravius Jacob, man, this kid, he has shown so much talent. Yeah. Like he could literally be one of the next faces of this Florida State, you know, historical wide receiver room. He could literally be that. Now, again, we're not as plugged in as some of the other people out there are, but just from the tea leaves, from the stories we've read from Twitter and all like that, from other places, we've known that he has been in the doghouse some, you know, in that sense of, and it's not really just skill set. It's more of attitude and mental processing and doing what the coaches are saying. And so coming into the spring, we thought, okay, here it is. You know, he was able to show some flash. This is going to turn out. This is actually going to happen. And then early in the spring, he was actually, his name was getting brought up a lot in the coaches' reports. You haven't heard. It's been dog silent.
Yeah.
Since. Dog silent. I mean, it's been so quiet on him. And so that's where my concern comes from is, man, if we watch the spring and he's just nowhere to be found, gosh, that's just not that it's on the coaches. It would just be like one of those, man, what could have been, you know?
Yeah. And I will say too, with like quarterback, I think with all the movement that you've seen already and some of the things that I've read, quarterback, surprisingly, while it's the most important position, is not really a position of desperate need for a lot of programs. They kind of have their guy.
Right.
Wide receiver is one of those positions where teams are still looking for that guy. And so they can offer that opportunity. Now, again, like we talked about, you have five seniors who are more than likely going to all move on. So you could entice him with that future playing time going into next year, because again, I mean, you have no juniors on the roster, which that's super weird to begin with. So you kind of have that gap. So you could sell that too. So I don't think he's going to. This is just from us looking at the roster and like, if you have to play the numbers game, who's the most likely to find their way? Because again, you got to find room somewhere if you're over the limit and you're trying to add some people. But yeah, man, I think that with as far as Deuce Spain goes, I think you have packages for him. You know, they like to do the reverses because he's so fast for his size.
Yes.
You have the return game maybe there as well that you can keep him entertained. You know, Portier, I think if Portier doesn't start, he's going to get an opportunity somewhere because he's shown enough. And I just think with like Darian Williamson, he's just been hurt his whole career. Yep. And so it's kind of he's missed his chance because of injury. And so there may be a better opportunity for him, you know, like the G5 level or something like that, that may be an opportunity. So there's just a lot, man. 13 receivers is just a lot. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't really see any of the young guys going anywhere, but I mean, then again, look, you already had like Goldie Lawrence, who was a guy that came in the same class as Vandravius that kind of saw once they started taking all these portal receivers, he saw the writing on the wall and he dipped. So I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me to see a wide receiver or two leave. And I think depending on who it is and depending on Destin Hill's status, and of course the coaching staff knows that and we don't, I don't think you close your eyes. I don't think you put on the blinders to the receivers in the portal. If you find one, I think you consider it. That's just me personally. And I want to say too, that this is again, keeping through the lens of that Florida State's trying to make the playoffs. This is not like if we could just get better, you know, back in the day where we're taking Kansas wide receivers because we just need somebody who can catch the football, you know, shout out
fourth Andrew, and 14,
Archner, like it, shout out anniversary of 4th and 14. So, you know, you're aiming high. So that's I think that's worth saying too. Now looking up front at the Hog Mollies on the offensive line, man, this is another crowded room. There 17. Are 17 scholarship guys in here. Yeesh. Now, here's the difference between here and the wide receiver room. We know that championship teams are built with depth in the trenches. That goes for offense and for defense. We know that Florida State, for some odd reason, has the injury bug in that offensive line room.
Gosh.
Pretty much every year since 2013. Like, it was a miracle that offensive line stayed as healthy as it did. So I think Florida State would be okay with carrying 17 or 18 guys into the season. I think they're perfectly fine going with a really, really deep offensive line room. And this also is another position group where you are very heavy with seniors.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at a lot of these guys. You have Robert Scott, Maurice Smith, Jeremiah Byers, Keandre Jones, Darius Washington, Richie Leonard. These are all seniors who are likely to move on next year. So you can sell that playing time next year. I think most of those guys that are penciled into the top 6 to 8 guys, pretty much the ones we just named, adding in a TJ Ferguson in there, I think those guys, you're good. Most of those are already signed with the battles in, not really worried about that. We know they rotate. We know they're going to get playing time. Where I start focusing on is like Bryson Estes, redshirt junior. It's unfortunate because he's battled some injury and he's finally having a good spring,
right?
Which usually leads to one of two things. That either leads to, okay, I'll get some playing time, or okay, I'll go get some playing time because now I look like I'm healthy and I'm ready to go. When you get to the younger group, I think some of these guys, obviously the freshmen and sophomores to a degree, redshirt freshmen, guys like Andre Otto, you don't need to leave. You are not developed. You're not going to go play anywhere. Right. That doesn't make any sense. So it's kind of those middle tier guys that you worry about with the Bryson Estes, like we talked about. And Julian Armella is another name that we are both kind of a little concerned about. Jalen Early is another talented guy that you're kind of worried about there. And I think with Armella, what's interesting there is we know that he was brought in originally as a tackle, but he's been working inside on the interior group because I think they're trying to be like, man, we got to get him some playing time. We got to keep him busy or he's going to start looking for somewhere else as a redshirt sophomore. So that's kind of the ones that you worry about is that middle tier guy. Like, do I want to wait or do I want to go find somewhere that I can start right now? So I think Florida State would carry all these guys in to the season. I'll say that when I look over the list, I don't have a guy that just jumps out like, oh yeah, he's out of here. I think most of them are probably going to stay.
Yep.
As far as additions to the room, I mean, look, every single team in college, high school, NAIA, NFL, you name it, Canadian football.
Canadian.
If there is an elite level offensive tackle, if there's a power five starter offensive tackle, you're going to take a swing at it. You are. You'd rather swing and miss and maybe scare a guy off than land them than not. But you are going to be in shark infested waters trying to catch you an offensive tackle because you're going to be competing against the big boys because everybody wants that level of offensive tackle. So really, to me, I think that is it. And I'll throw it to you on this. When you're looking at the offensive line, here's two names for you. So Jason Zandamella is a guy, an interior guy, a guard that Florida State was really heavily involved with. We were basically his number two.
Yeah.
This speaks to exactly what you said earlier. I'm pretty sure he literally committed in the fall or the summer and is already transferring out in the spring. So maybe that's a bad sign, but he did choose the USC Trojans over Florida State, but he's back on the market. So just that prior relationship could lead to them looking at that. The other name I want to toss out here is Andrew Chambly, a 6'6", 304-pound red shirt freshman offensive tackle from Arkansas. His name has been linked to Florida State.
Yep.
He's going to be in the portal. And so this is a name I think that could really sit like the Zandamella is more like, okay, it's just tied. We're tied at the hip. It's interesting. I think DeChambly could be a guy that they go after because you're pushing Julian Armella inside. You know, Lucas Simmons isn't ready at tackle.
That's right.
You don't have a lot of true tackle bodies like a 6'6", 304. So I think that this is someone that they're really going to kick the tires on. I believe he's supposed to be visiting Florida State. I'd have to confirm that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just a couple of names to throw out there for you. If we have names at the position, I'll throw them out. Just some things that we've heard, but there's not a lot right now. But yeah, man, that's my thoughts on the offensive line.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, again, everybody understands that the offensive line, unless you're like a once in a lifetime generational freshman, everybody knows that coming in as a freshman, you're not starting and you might not get any playing time in these Power Two programs with Florida State and Clemson because of how well. Now, Florida State has been a little bit different because they've had to catch up to getting that line back to quality. But, you know, now with the depth that they have, with the quality of offensive line they have, you're not coming in as a freshman expecting to start or even see the field, you know, your first year. So you can get those freshmen in and not necessarily worry about them transferring out. So, like you said, I'm not worried about that lower bottom line, that lower tier. I'm going to be a little bit different than you in this. I also am not super worried about that top tier line until you get past whoever the starting five is. And here's why I say this, because last year you saw with the injury bug how we rotated offensive linemen, right? And so you could sell that to this group of like, hey, look, we played a lot of offensive linemen last year. You're going to get on the field. But if you're, let's just say you're Richie Lenny, you're TJ Ferguson, you're Keandre Jones, you're Jeremiah Byers, right? This is your last year of college football. Oh, not Ferguson, but Richie Leonard and Keandre and Jeremiah. This is your last year of college football. And so you find out you're on the two deep, but you're two. You're behind. Well, you're trying to do the math in your head like, well, they got to get injured before I'll see playing time. And if that don't happen, I'm not seeing playing time. So do I really want to stay around this? That's why I'm saying like I'm not overly concerned because we've shown that we'll play people even when they're not necessarily injured. We'll play. We'll do rotate. Last year, we saw at times when we did have a healthy offensive line for certain packages, certain plays, we put in different offensive linemen. So we've shown that. I have a little concern with that tier, just a little bit. Now, you, I have a lot of concern with the middle tier, and it's really all around Julian Armella. And the reason why for Julian Armella is this. He's redshirt sophomore. This is his third year in the program. They are, as you've heard Jesse talk about, as we've read and seen, they are sliding him inside to a guard position to see if he is probably starter worthy. That, I think that's what they're trying to figure out. Is he starter worthy at the guard position? And if not, man, this is this. Not only is this the future of your offensive lineman that potentially could be transferred out, this is a legacy. This is his dad played at Florida State.
Yep.
Now, the coaches should not be concerned with that. They got to go recruit and put the best players to play. That's their job. As fans, though, man, that just feels, ugh, I just don't want to lose him.
It's not a great look. I mean, that I think that's why Marvin Jones Jr. hurt the first time, because it was a legacy and you missed out on that. You got him the second time around.
That's right.
I mean, I do feel like Armella knows he's in the future plans. It's just, is he willing to wait? But you make a good point. I mean, a guy like Richie Leonard, you know, he comes over from Florida, who was a starter, probably would have been a starter again this year. You know, judging from what some of the Florida people have said, he was their best lineman last year. So do you leave starting at an SEC program to be the number two at an ACC program? That could be a tough thing to sit down and say, but I do think, I will say that I think some guys do appreciate if you go to them and say, hey, look, we rotate a lot. It's going to keep you healthy. It's going to keep the wear and tear off your body. I think they appreciate that as well. They know offensive line is a 6 to 8 man rotation if you have the resources. But again, like you said, I'm not overly worried about them going and getting anybody. I think they're fine with what they got. You know, I know this is a sensitive name, but like, again, if a men's type of guy pops in the portal, you know, sorry to scratch open an old wound. But you know, that's the type of guy you're swinging at to me.
Absolutely.
It's either that or bust. So now the next to round out the offense here, we'll touch on tight end, because I think this is a little bit of an interesting one here where I think you could see movement in both directions. So when you talk about adding somebody, I think this is kind of like wide receiver, where there is a little bit of an if next to this one too. Obviously, you know, Kyle Morlock is going to be your guy. That's your starter, penciled in, good to go. We saw what this offense, we know that offense on offense, the tight end position has been lacking for a while up until about last year. Now, you know, you had some good play towards the end. Cam, I can't think of his last name, but
Cam McDonald.
He did pretty good, you know, his final year. And you add Biscuit with some yards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you see with adding a guy like Jaheim Bell, what the tight end position could do for you.
Had he stayed healthy, man.
Now, I think when you look overall at this position, Kyle Morlock is 6'7". He's a good target. I think last year was really just that adjustment to the Power 5 level.
Yep.
He's still a little light in the seat. So you kind of, like, to me, man, if you could get one of those, like, big Iowa, you know, 6'7", 285-pound white dudes with a hard-to-pronounce last name that, you know, it's just like...
Shostakowski, yeah.
Right, like taped-up fingers, you know, something like that, sure, bring them on. But I think the thing with the tight end room is you have Morlock. You feel good about him.
Right.
They like Jackson West. This is a guy who has the size that we just talked about. He has the mean streak that you want that we just talked about. He's an upperclassman now. He's had a bunch of good comments in the spring. So everything looks in line for him to be a guy that they can finally rely on this year. It just hasn't panned out yet for injuries or whatever reason. Then you also have Brian Courtney in here, who's a guy that I think from what he brings outside of, this sounds kind of weird to say, but what he brings outside of the tight end position, one, they loved him when they got him. He played at high school quarterback, super athletic guy. He's a contributor on special teams. He throws 2-point conversion passes for us.
Yes, he does.
You know, he actually is cross-trained at linebacker on defense, which is another position with depth concerns. I think you could see them fighting to hold on to him.
Yeah.
Then you have Jarrell Powers, who's already out for the rest of the spring. Redshirt sophomore, hasn't really kind of found his way yet, been dealing with some injuries as well. Then, of course, you have Landon Thomas, the freshman. So I'm thinking that if Landon Thomas turns out, and so far all reports indicate that he is on this path, if he turns out, and I know that's your guy. So
that's my guy.
I know that's your guy.
I'm so excited about him.
Right. I think if he turns out to be what we think he can be, I don't think you need to take a tight end. I think you're fine with Morlock, with Jackson West, with Brian Courtney, with Landon Thomas. I mean, we were rolling out a walk-on there for a while. And because Preston Daniel was one heck of a walk-on tight end we needed him. But again, man, I think this is one where I think they could afford to take someone if you had a really good tight end that could contribute primarily in your blocking game and then also be a decent pass catcher. I really just think you need a blocking tight end. That's I want to see. But I think that wholeheartedly depends on what they feel like they're going to get from Jackson West and how Landon Thomas progresses.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to just say this right now, and this might be, I don't want to jinx the kid. I don't want to put any bad juju on him or anything like that. I'm just telling you, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when with Landon Thomas. Yes. I'm telling you, that boy looks like a grown man. He's got four kids, and he's got a deep 401k. I mean, that's how grown that man looks. And he's a freshman in college, and he has the body. I've heard comparisons to certain NFL tight ends as for body types. I'm just saying, this kid can be good. Now, I will say this, though. I think the tight end position is great. It's kind of like what we said with the wide receiver. There's a little asterisk there. If there's a Brock Bowers-like tight end out there who's wanting to come to Florida State, go get him. Because, again, the coach's job, your job as a player is to keep your starting job or win it. Coach's job is to recruit over you, right, and to bring competition. So you got to go get that tight end. But if he's not out there, man, I don't think you mess up this room, because I do think with Kyle Morlock, you know, last year his biggest problem was really, like you said, need a little bit more in the seat and catching those passes, those critical passes that he dropped. Jackson West is a decent tight end there. Brian Courtney, again, I think you have a good tight end room. Landon Thomas is going to overtake that room at some point. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there, Landon. You watching this, Landon, just know your boy's been fronting for you all this time, okay? But I think he's going to do that, and I think this room is set as is unless a Brock Bowers-like tight end comes available.
Yeah, because I think six tight ends going into the season is a bit heavy to begin with. So I think if they have to make room, I think you could spare one there. But again, you know, it's with all these positions, really, or at least most of them, where you feel like if there is that guy out there that you take him, because you're just trying to be the best team that you can. But again, I think if you don't take one and Jackson West pans out to be at least what they need him to be as a blocker and a physical guy, I think you're good. So let's flip over to the defense now, and we'll pick up the pace a little bit. So defensive end here, obviously, I don't think you need to go get anybody. I mean, of course, again, I mean, if there's a game changer in the portal, and depending on who leaves, maybe you entertain that idea, because I do think you're probably going to have some movement here. But really, when you look at the defensive end room, I think your top four guys are pretty much, you feel confident between Marvin Jones Jr., who, again, they are saying that he is turning out. He's starting to look like the guy you brought him in, the former five-star, the explosiveness for his size, the quickness off the line. You're starting to see all those traits. Obviously, we know Patrick Payton is been a really, really good defensive end, and he's only gotten better. You know, he's put on some weight in the spring or throughout the fall, and so we feel like that's another good guy. Lohaleha and Durajaye, those are two guys that we also like. Now, Durajaye is going to be sliding at defensive tackle a little bit to help out with depth there. So really, and you also have Jaden Jones as a guy that I don't want to overlook. He was coming off an injury. He's a big physical body. I think he's going to be a contributor this year. So for me, what I'm looking at is a guy like Byron Turner. So when you look at last year in 2023, we know that you had Verson Payton, then you had Edmund and Byron Turner. Well, Edmund saw the writing on the wall, and I don't care what Shane Beamer has to say, the manager of our farm team, about how he knew he wanted to be home and all this stuff. Like, no, bro, he knew he was going to be fifth string.
Exactly.
Like, he knew he was going to be handing water bottles to the starters. Play at
South Carolina.
Exactly. So I think with this situation, you see where Byron Turner, now he had his best season in Garnet Gold last year, but then they just were kind of recruited over him. And so is he going to be a guy as a redshirt junior who is kind of, you know, winding down his career? Is he going to be willing to take an even potentially smaller role than he did last year? Now, we know they love to rotate out defensive ends, so I don't necessarily want to say second versus third string.
Right.
But he's probably going to fall in line more of like a third stringer reps than a second stringer rep. So that's a guy that I would be worried about there, unless he just, you know, blows up and takes over, or they need Durajaye inside, so they use him more. Then, of course, you have guys like Aaron Hester, who's that sophomore. Now, he's had a great spring from what everybody said. I think he could certainly be a part of the plan. But you got a very veteran-heavy defensive end room here, and you also have some freshmen that are behind him. So, like, is he willing to wait his time? So I think those are kind of some of the names that I'm watching here. But, man, this defensive end room is so loaded. I don't think you need anyone unless a really, like, a Jared Verse type of guy falls in your lap.
Yeah.
And other than that, even if you lose a guy or two, I think you're still fine here.
Yeah, I think you're fine here. And, again, I think all of these positions, except maybe for the quarterback and running back room, has asterisk of, oh, if there's a surefire guy out there who wants to come play, like, I don't think you should go looking for one and then try to recruit him. I think if there's someone that is out there, it's like, oh my gosh, having this guy would be awesome. He fits the culture. He's got the skill set and the talent to be dominant, and he wants to come here. Yeah, go get him.
Yeah.
But I think, with this, I think this defensive end room is really solid. I agree with you on the two. I think Byron Turner Jr. is a potential, like, a portal candidate watch, and so is Aaron Hesser. I mean, Aaron Hesser is going in his third year on the program. Again, man, these redshirt sophomores, this is around about the time where they're basically saying, okay, is this program for me or not? And this spring, you know, like you said, his name has been out there a lot in positive manners. So you'd imagine that he's going to get some run, you know, some significant run in the fall if he keeps it up. But also at the same time, you know, he could look at that and say, well, I could go somewhere, maybe a lesser school, and start and get a little bit more NIL because of the position. So you just never know with these guys and what they're thinking, who's in their ear about what. But yeah, I would say that those two are probably the more likeliest portal candidate watching.
Yeah, and you would hope that you could hang on to them because, I mean, again, you have 10 edge players. So, that's like, it's just a lot. I mean, it really, you're five deep on the edge. So you probably will see somebody depart. But again, I mean, I think as far as going to get anybody, you're 100% right. Like, if someone great falls in your lap, you take them. If not, you're good where you're at. This is one of the deepest and best defensive end rooms, you know, at least in the conference, let alone the country. Now, let's flip over to the one position group where you guys know that I've been championing this for a long time, really, with the defensive tackle room. Is I think this is my number one position group where you need to go to the portal. I would like to get at least one. Personally, I would take two. But I want to make a couple of points here. First off, this, from what most people, the national people and the rumblings have said, this is going to be one of the hardest positions to land guys at because there is a big market for defensive tackles this year, for impact defensive tackles. So you're going to be fighting the big dogs for this one. So when I say I'd take two, I also say that with good luck. But if you could get one guy in the boat, like I was doing some of the, when I was writing an article, and I encourage you guys to go check it out, where I kind of wrote out all my thoughts on this stuff on our website on plantandspirit.com. I did a full breakdown with all this stuff that I encourage you guys to go check out. But when I'm looking at scholarship versus walk-ons and you're looking at your defensive tackle room, so here's who you got on scholarship. You have Josh Farmer, Daryl Jackson, Grady Kelly, Daniel Lyons, Dante Anderson, Danas White, and Jamori Flagg. Your two freshmen are not on the team yet. They have not enrolled yet. So right now, you have five defensive tackles that are on scholarship. Now, this is a position similar to linebacker and semi-similar to tight end as well. Look, it is what it is, man. No one is throwing shade at Odell, but the recruiting has suffered. So you don't have, like, and I know he wasn't the most productive guy, but you don't have that five-star Marvin Wilson or whoever who's coming up through the system that you're like, okay, we'll just roll with that young beast of a guy. You've had to supplement through the portal. That's, you know, Fabian was a transfer.
Right.
Braden Fisk, transfer. You know, most of your best guys you got through the portal. Now, I feel really, really good about your top two. I think Josh Farmer and Daryl Jackson could be two, you know, probably one of the best defensive tackle duos in the country. But at the same time, if any one of them have to miss any time, you could be in trouble. Josh Farmer is a guy that's already missing some of spring with an injury. Right. Grady Kelly is a guy that you feel like can be good for you. But at the same time, he's the last guy that you have that has significant experience. So if for any reason Farmer or Jackson were to miss any time, you're getting kind of narrow. You're getting kind of thin there, not only with your experienced guys that you're plugging in, but the depth guys you're bringing in behind them. Daniel Lyons is a guy that I know they feel good about, and so is Dante Anderson. They just don't have a lot of snaps. So right. I think, to me, you like who you got in your top about four guys, but I think you have to go out and get somebody. I don't think you necessarily need to go get a top-end guy. where, I mean, obviously it'd be great if you had one, but you could risk upsetting the apple cart there, you know, with maybe chasing someone off. I mean, one of your defensive tackles already flirted with the portal once, and one's already transferred twice. So maybe you're careful there. But man, I think if you could find another Braden Fisk, another Grady Kelly, or a guy that, you know, just a solid starter for like Boston College or, yeah, or Virginia or Mississippi State, something like that, I think that's where you're going to look at.
Yeah, we talked about this in the pre-show. I'm gonna go a little bit further than you did right there, because you're the good leader here at Plant the Spear. So I'm gonna be the bad guy. I think if there is a defensive lineman out there that is, oh my gosh, this dude would literally change the face of our defense right now. You drop $1 million NIL dollars and you get him. Screw. I know we're a family friendly show. Screw making other people on the team upset.
Yeah.
Like, this is about getting the best players in. And this is the position that, man, we are one injury away from being decimated, from being in serious trouble. And so I think you go get that. If it's out there, if they're out there, you go get it. Drop $1 million, bring them in, let's dominate, right? And then you go, and then you bring in maybe, because you're probably going to lose our other top line person. Then you go bring that second stringer, third stringer, who's going to be a rotational piece of there. Now, if that person is not out there, clearly not out there, not a great fit, then yeah, I agree with you. You go get that Boston College, Mississippi State, maybe from Auburn, somewhere in the SEC. Let's do that. Somewhere from the SEC, go get that second or third stringer there. That's going to give you quality depth. That's going to be able to come in and relieve the starters in that rotational piece. You know, they're not going to be the greatest, but they can hold their own, right? They can hold their own. They can do damage. They can plug that line, you know, stop the run. They're a run stopper, because that's the big thing. You want to make sure they can stop the run. And then I think that gives you some depth pieces there. But again, man, I just think that if this is the one position I actually think you need to go hunting for. All the other ones, it's like, if they fall in your lap, okay, great. If not, leave it alone. This one, nah, you got to go hunting. And man, you're trying to catch that. Listen, I've never hunt deer before. Is it an 8-point? Is that the prime buck?
You're trying to get a grizzly bear.
Trying to get a grizzly. Thank you. Yeah. You're trying to get a big old grizzly. I mean, like one of those Alaskan scary you see on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Like, that's what kind you're trying to get, right?
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. I think because of the fact that you saw how much having an impact defensive position, multiple defensive tackles, how much that did for you in 2023. Whereas that's in 2022, when you lost Fabian, you saw how hard it was to stop the run up the middle. So
that's right.
You need that. And I think if you could get that top end guy, I think you do risk it. I just think it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be competitive, but if you don't find that guy, I think you at least have to take you would like to see a experienced guy that can be someone for you that rotates in like a Grady Kelly. But I think you do make a good point. Like, if you were to lose either one of your top two defensive tackles for any reason, it's almost better to risk it and get that third guy in there where you can plug and play, where you're not like, all right, well, we're just good enough at that position. Right. But yeah, I think defensive tackle is probably your number one position that you need to be aggressive in the portal with, because that's could make or break your season when you talk about a playoff or championship level team. Because again, look at the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Michigans. They have depth in the trenches, and that's what you have to do to win championships.
Right. And Jesse, who said that we can't play a five front? Man, we can have three DTs on the field at one time.
Listen, we can go bare front. And we even said in the pre-show, we were like, look, man, you know, when we were talking about this, we were discussing whether you would take one or not. And it's like, I don't know the starting rate for a top-end defensive tackle, to be perfectly honest. It might be six figures. It might be seven. Who knows? Probably not seven, but you never know. Whatever it is, I would gladly pay it to bring Braden Fisk back.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And if it chased someone off, it is what it is. So I'm wholeheartedly with you there. Now let's go to another position that has been somewhat under recruited that we feel like you're probably going to need someone, but this is going to be interesting. And this is going to be something that I'm really looking forward to seeing in the spring game to know what you need to do at this position. And that's linebacker. Now to me, I would like at least one experienced guy. That's me personally. I think you would like to go out and get a guy who can step in and have the experience, because first off, it was huge to get DJ Lundy back out of the portal. That was massive, whether you like him or not. He's a great run stopper, a physical specimen. He knows your defense, and he can lock down one of those spots. But you're chasing the next two. You bring in Sean Murphy from Alabama. all the tools and traits, recruited right. by Alabama, you know, got some Alabama development and all that stuff there, moves well, looks the part, hasn't played a whole lot. Now, right. you don't have to be an experienced player to be a good player. You can have a breakout season. And he is some, you know, he's a veteran. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's been around for a little bit. But the other thing you've been hearing is that Justin Cryer might be legit. Like he might man. Have been a good get, and that's just a sophomore. So I think this is another if position. Like you really want to get that guy. Like if you could find another Tatum Bethune, who was a 100+ tackler at the G5 level at UCF, I think it's a no brainer. You would add him.
That's right.
But I also think if you feel good about Blake Nicholson, I think if you feel good about Justin Cryer, and if you feel good enough about Sean Murphy that two of those three guys could be what you need. I don't think you have to at the risk of maybe losing a guy like Blake Nicholson or something like That's that. Right. Because, you know, Blake Nicholson it could literally be the best linebacker you've had come through here in the last 10 years. If he reaches his peak, I mean, he's a really talented guy. You don't want to chase guys like him off. And so I think if you find a good linebacker, I think you take him. I would love to see an experienced guy just for depth in there. I think as far as risk of losing anybody, I don't think you're really at a big risk of losing anybody outside of maybe Omar Graham Jr. Yeah. I think if you see where Cryer and Nicholson both jump him and Sean Murphy, I think the writing on the wall might be there, so you could see him leave. So maybe it does come down to a depth conversation, because I don't, you know, DeMarco Ward is a redshirt freshman. I don't think any of the other freshmen are ready to step onto this stage yet. Because, I mean, they weren't really super highly touted prospects coming out of high school. Right. So, yeah, man, I think for me, if you could find a Tatum Bethune-ish type of guy, I think you take him.
Yep.
But if you finish spring camp and you feel good about those linebackers, and I'm super excited to hear that this position group has been better than we expected, because we thought this might be the Achilles heel of the defense, then I think you roll with what you got.
Yeah, I thought, man, if you would have asked me a week ago, Jesse, which position we need to be super aggressive, uber aggressive in the portal, I would have said linebacker for sure.
Yep.
But over the last week, man, you're just hearing how this group is developing, which, and this is not to disparage anybody on the coaching staff that coaches linebacker, but the development has not necessarily been the problem the last couple of years.
Right.
It's been the recruiting.
Right.
That's been the problem. Right. And so I think if you're looking at this group, if there is a candidate that you might be on portal watch, it's definitely going to be Omar Graham. I think the writing's on the wall about Blake Nicholson. I think he knows how much value he brings to this program and this team, how the coach is seeing him. I think Justin Cryer, you're hearing all about that. Like you said, Ward, Hickman, Collins, and Paris, they're all freshmen, redshirt freshmen. I don't think there's a chance of them going anywhere. I think Omar Graham Jr. is probably the one that you're on portal watch. And I would put this at like a slight green, slight yellowish, just to see how it kind of develops. I'm with you. I think, though, if, man, one of these, you know, power group of five linebacker who's been there 4 years, their grad transfers, or they've been 3 years, they got almost 200 tackles to their name. Maybe they're a power five, power four, lower level, you know, school from, you know, what do we always talk about? Boston College.
I know.
One of those linebackers, man.
I know. I told you the other day, I was like, go get me that white linebacker with the neck roll and the taped fingers from Boston College. I'll take it. That's good enough. There ain't much I want from Boston College, but they usually have some decent they have some decent linebackers.
Yeah. So if one of those becomes available and they want to come and they understand that this is not a starting job, that this is a rotation piece, I think you figure out if that could work for that room. Cause I do think you need, I don't know if I want to say need. I do think it could be helpful if you had one more experienced linebacker. Cause you really don't, you know, like between Graham and Nicholson, that's not a lot of playing time there. So DJ Lundy is your most experienced linebacker. I think you do need one more, just to make sure that if one of them, this is always the injury thing, if one of them gets hurt, you know, because we know Tatum Bethune basically played with no knees, you know, he was injured last year and he still, you know, was able to get through the games, made a big interception in the ACC championship game. So I do think if you can figure that out, then, but if you come out of the spring and you feel great, then let's go.
Yeah, and I feel like linebacker is very similar to defensive tackle. You saw what it did when you had good linebacker play, and you've seen what it's been like when you didn't necessarily have great linebacker play. So let's move back to the probably the most crowded or at least heavily loaded position group on the entire team, and that is defensive back. Now, you got a lot of them, Michael. I mean, you like if we were playing 7-on-7, oof, Florida State would probably win a national championship hands down.
Oh, gosh.
We have so many people. You currently have 16 defensive backs on the roster. And I say that you have about 4 to 5 guys at safety and around 11 guys because we don't really know where Kevin Knowles kind of fits in with them bringing in some other
back
extra guys.
Yeah.
Does he go back to corner? Does he not? So looking at these guys, I mean, you do have a lot of veterans. You have Fentrell Cypress, redshirt senior. You feel like he's going to be a starter. Devontae Brown, redshirt senior. You feel like he's going to be in the running for the starter. I've
heard a lot about him. Yep.
I said this before, like I will die on this hill. I think he's not as bad as he was at Miami. I think you're going to see something more. I think he'll be serviceable. I don't think he's going to be the starter. I'm still betting on my guy, Conrad Hussey. I'm buying that stock hand over fist. You also have Kevin Knowles as a senior. This is the one that I'm having the hardest time kind of finding where he fits.
Yeah.
Shaheem Brown, redshirt junior. You know he's a starter. Probably
pencil
that in. Not really going anywhere. Zaria Thomas, you back the Brink
truck. Pencil that in. Keep in. Right?
You do what you got to do.
Ever. Yep.
Right. So then I think, obviously, we already mentioned Greedy Vance is a guy who's already intended to enter the portal. Now, of course, people intend to enter the portal all the time. Whether they do it or not, we don't know. So maybe he stays, maybe not. And to be honest, man, this was a weird situation because I think early on, I was like, okay, well, you could see where Earl Little's going to come in and probably take that nickel slot from Jerrion Jones where he vacated. And it was really, really good for FSU. But it was kind of a quiet spring early on. And you had actually kind of heard that Greedy Vance was doing pretty well. So I was okay, this might turn into a situation where Greedy starts the season and then maybe Earl Little finds his way onto the field. But I think now that you see him heading to the portal, that kind of tells you that Earl Little Jr. is probably going to step into that starting role. He looks like he's doing what he can to be that guy. So to me, I don't necessarily think you need to go out and get any DBs. I think you're very solid there. I think you have enough quality in this room and young guys that even like maybe you're at that nickel position, that slot corner, maybe you could look at a depth piece there, but again, I think you have enough talented young guys that you can roll with there. So it's just you have so many guys at the corner position that are battling that may or may not want to stay through that battle. You know, you look at safety, obviously, like we talked about, you pretty much know where everybody's going to fall as far as Shaheem Brown. And then you got a couple guys battling there for the, you know, you still got Ashlyn Barker. Like, that's another guy. Right. Where does he fit if he doesn't make it in? You know, his clock's ticking too. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you get, like, let's say Conrad Hussey starts, that's a true sophomore. So now you're looking at everybody who's got more experience than them. You just got passed up by a young guy, and you got some other young guys behind him, like a KJ Kirkland that is already being rumored in there, too, that maybe that chases some guys off. You know, did Devontae Brown, did he come in to be a backup of his redshirt senior year? I don't know.
That's right.
But then, like I said, I think when you look out to the corner position, you have Fentrell, you have Azaria, who you feel really good about. You have Quindarius Jones, who's made some noise this season. You have Earl Little. So you have a lot of the guys behind them that I think are going to, the freshmen that are going to stay. I think you're probably not going to have a whole lot of guys move on from this position group. Again, to me, Kevin Knowles is the one that if I had to put a most likely candidate out there, it's him because, you know, he transitioned to safety last year. It wasn't the greatest year. Like we said, it wasn't that he was like out of place or anything like that. It's just the tackling was subpar. Does he get better in year two at safety? Does he take that starting role? If he doesn't, does he move back to his natural position at corner where he did start for some time? If neither one works out as a senior, do you go elsewhere and try elsewhere? And to me, that's your most likely scenario. But, I mean, you're loaded at
you are
DB. And I think the good thing is you like everyone top to bottom.
Right. Yeah, and I just think with Kevin Knowles, it's such a crazy thing, man, because, like, what his, like – you know, was it his sophomore year, whichever year he came on? He was like, oh my gosh, this dude's locked down. He was like so good. And then he fell off. And then last year, moving to safety, it's a different position. For those of you that don't, you know, maybe are not like intricate into the football world, safety is different than corner. The way you call the game, the way the angles you take, the way you have to tackle. Whereas corner, you're almost right there with the player. So tackling becomes a little bit better and a little bit easier. But safety, you're coming at an angle. You're trying to hit people. You know, you're covering, you know, hash to sideline, depending on where you are. And so it's just a little, it's a different feel if you're not used to it. And for his being his first time back, or first season back there playing safety, you saw where there was still such a learning curve when it comes to tackling. Right. He was always in the right place. It was never like he was, you know, coverages were being busted or anything like that. It was just tackling, like, dude, like, wrap up, you know, not these one hand swipes and stuff. And so I do think he's him and Barker are probably your top on portal watch right now, I would say. I think everybody else, they can see themselves either in the future or they can see themselves in the rotation now, in the backfield there. I just think those two are probably the ones that you're like, yeah, I'm not really sure where you slot them in at. You know, does Barker step into that other safety role? Is he, because he's probably not a starter. So, I agree with you. Those are the two ones you want to watch out for.
Yeah, because they liked Barker when they brought him in. He's big. I mean, I think he could contribute at safety, but he was a JUCO guy who redshirted at JUCO. He didn't even play at JUCO, so we really don't know what you're getting out of him. And like we said, when you look at your top, when you're more veteran guys, most of them are already penciled in starters besides really Kevin Knowles and Devontae Brown. And then when you get to the sophomores, Earl Little Jr., probably going to start. Conrad Hussey, if he starts, and Quadarius Jones has made a lot of waves in the spring, probably going to play a lot. So that pretty much just leaves your veteran guys that maybe don't get that starting spot. And that's why I feel like if Kevin Knowles doesn't start, then that makes you a candidate. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to transfer.
That's like exactly.
He could transfer back to corner and stay on Florida State's team.
That's right. Like, let's make that clear for you guys listening on podcasts or watching on YouTube. We're not saying that these kids are going to transfer. We're just saying that to us, if they're not in starter roles or significant roles, then we should keep an eye out on potentially them jumping into the portal. That's all we're saying.
Right. This is who we think are most likely to end up in the portal, just looking at the roster from a whole. And so that covers both sides. I think obviously you're also good at special teams for whatever that's worth mentioning. You have Mastromano back, you have Fitzgerald back, and you have your returner. So I don't think you're worried about anything there. So let's go to wrap this up, Michael. First off, man, you know what? You don't have to go to the portal to get good prices Alumni Hall FSU. All you got to do is just tell them that your friends over at Plant the Spear sent you. Tell them code SPEAR. Use code SPEAR online. You're going to save 10% off all the awesome FSU gear you want. If you're going to be in town next week or this coming up week for the spring game, 1415 Timberlane Road is their location in Tallahassee. That promo code works in the store. Or you can order it online and pick it up in the store if you're running late. So let's wrap this up, Michael, with a fun topic that you brought up I think would be good to kind of end the show here. And because we've ran a little bit long, guys, we're going to come back at you with the spring game preview. We'll have that for you with plenty of time before the spring game. But let's go with the top five non-starters. That's important to mention because you don't want to lose any starters.
That's right.
But your top five non-starters that I don't necessarily want to say you can't afford to lose, but would be the most painful to lose.
Correct.
So we'll start going from 5 to 1 with kind of our lowest to highest. Not that they're all neither important, but because it was your great idea for this fun topic here, I'm gonna let you start. I'm gonna let you go ahead and throw out number 5. Now I will spoil a little bit. I think we have some similar names on here.
Yeah,
but it just goes to show that this is probably the case for most of the guys that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is our top 5. Not that it would be devastating, but you're just like, ugh, that'd be bad to lose. Number 5 for me is who we just talked about, Kevin Knowles. The reason why I say that real quick is just because I think, you know, he knows the defense. He knows how to make those calls back there in the safety area. So if he were to transfer, unless he moved back to corner, I think that hurts. That hurts the camaraderie. That hurts the leadership. That hurts a veteran presence back there. And so I think number 5 would be Kevin Knowles.
Yeah, the only reason I wouldn't put him on there is because you have Devontae Brown, and I almost feel like that's kind of an even swap. So for me, I went with number 5 with, I gave an or in here, Julian Armella or Jalen Early. I think losing either one of those would be a little bit painful, not so much for this year, but for the future. Because like we said, you have, 5 or 6 guys who are probably going to depart next year. You know, we've been a little slow on the offensive line recruiting. That's not against Atkins. It's just we got some sanctions and restrictions that we're dealing with. So, yeah, man, I think for your future, those would be two guys that would probably be a little bit painful to lose.
Yeah.
So Who you got at number four?
Okay, number four, I have KJ Sampson, the defensive tackle. Now, we talked about how thin this DT room is, and so I think he is just up and coming. I mean, he has shown some promise there, and I just think if we lose him, that's a detriment to your two deep, your three deep probably there, your rotation piece. This is somebody you've recruited, you've brought in, and I think that would hurt. Now, if you go out and replace him, if you lost him, then I think you could do a clear swap. But right now, I think he would be harmful to your depth process at the DT room.
Yeah, and I do want to touch on real quick. I just went back up because I was like, I don't remember talking about him when we went through defensive tackle. I didn't have him listed. I will update the article, but you know that is another guy, but still, no experience.
That's right.
So my number four is from the same position group, but I'm casting a wider net. Anybody with the DT next to their name on the roster, yeah. If you lose anybody, non-starter or whatnot, I think that's going to be a problem because you're already thin. And like we talked about, if you lose one of your top guys, who you're replacing, like you said in baseball, the wins above replacement.
That's right.
When you look at those things, when you have to plug another guy in, are they going to be sufficient to hold that down? At defensive tackle, if you lose anybody, I'm getting concerned.
That's right.
And so to me, it's anybody with DT next to their initials. So who do you got at number three as we break into our top three guys?
All right, our top three. Number three, Blake Nicholson. I really think he is your linebacker, star linebacker of the future. You saw pops. You saw flashes his freshman peer, true freshman year, especially in that Southern Miss game. I remember him making an interception that didn't end up counting, but oh my goodness. You know, he needs to still fill out his body so that he could be more productive in the run game. But man, I really see a star in the waiting. So if he doesn't see or feel himself for the future of Florida State in this depth chart for linebacker, I think that's going to hurt.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, they say great minds think alike. He's also my number three, Blake Nicholson. I think this would be one that would be painful to lose. And really, my concern, too, that maybe gets overlooked is he's a West Coast guy. He came from California. So, he's a long way from home and his family. And you know, if he doesn't get to play, then that could kind of add into the thing. Sometimes you see West Coast kids go back. Same with East Coast kids that went out west. They don't love their situation, and they come back. I think, again, this is similar to what you said. He's the future of the position for you. Yeah. And I think he hurts not only this year because, let's be honest, man, if Blake Nicholson is 90, if he's 80% ready and you're going to go out and get that guy that we talked about from Virginia or North Carolina or something like that, man, roll with Nicholson. I'm fine with that. Roll with him, grow, you know, live with the growing pains and all that stuff.
Right.
Just to keep him in the fold for next year, because man, he is so talented. I don't think you can afford to lose him.
That's right. I absolutely agree. I think you have to go with that and invest in him because I think the future, the potential is greater than what might else be out there. So,
right. And I do think it's important to note that a lot of people will say, well, you got to let the young guys play eventually and you can't just keep recruiting over
That's
them.
Right.
And while you make that attempt, it is true. You do have to let these guys play at some point. So who you got at number two?
All right. Number two was your number five is Julian Armella because of that future conversation that we just had with Blake Nicholson. I just think that this guy's the future of your offensive line. He's a legacy recruit. He's been here going. This is his third year. He's a redshirt sophomore. I think it's time for him to step up and show why he was the number one recruit in the state of Florida coming out 3 years ago. I think it's time for him to show that he has the ability to do what they've been asking him to do. They're sliding him to guard. If he goes through this spring and decides that this is not for him, I think that hurts from a Florida recruiting perspective point. I think that hurts from a legacy recruiter perspective point. Now, listen, we know the coaches can go find somebody to fill his slot, but I don't know if you find somebody to replace him. He has so much. I've watched film on this kid. He has so much talent to offer. It's just time to put it all together. And I think the coaches will be able to get it out of him, but that would be somebody I think would hurt recruiting long term and the offensive lineman developing long term.
Yeah. And I wholeheartedly agree. I touched on it earlier. And we've done a lot of who would be painful from a future standpoint. Mm-hmm. This is a guy I'm gonna kind of flip course here and go with a guy that I think would be painful to lose this year. Now, you're probably thinking in the back of your head when I say this name, well, he's probably gonna start. And that is true. But if he doesn't start, and it's Kentron Portier, this is the conversation that we had in the wide receiver conversation where if you get a guy like Hakeem Williams to come in and beat him out, I don't know, maybe another guy like another Keon Coleman falls in your lap. He comes in, he takes that spot. Portier, in his last year, a guy that has shown the ability that he could play at Florida State. We thought he was going to be the starter last year before Keon Coleman come in. So he kind of got recruited over once. If lightning strikes twice, is he going to be out of here? And the reason I think it's painful is if you get somebody, then you're probably fine because you can still turn to Hakeem. You can still turn to some of the other guys. If you don't, if he just gets beat out by Hakeem Williams and you have to get into your depth at any point, man, I just think that Portier is really kind of your number two, or even if you want to go as far as like 1A, just from a I've seen him play on the field. You know, there's a lot of guys in this room that we like that we just have not seen play on the field. And that doesn't mean they can't be good. It just, man, I think you need at least one experienced receiver in this group. And he is that guy right now. So I know I'm going to cheat. I already know ahead of time that we have the same number one. So we'll go ahead and we'll break that. We both picked Brock Glenn.
That's right.
I think by far this is the one that if you had to be a little nervous, sit kind of sitting on your hands, I think there are, first off, zero indications that he's leaving.
No, none whatsoever.
I just think that if I were another team and I were looking for, you know, if I'm a buzzard flying around looking for someone to pick off, Brock Glenn is a guy that, you know, hey, you know, they just brought in somebody to start. You know what I mean? You're going to hear that conversation. And while I think the young guys that you have on the roster would be good enough, I think this is from not only a future standpoint, but an immediate standpoint.
Yeah.
I love Luke Kromenhawk.
Yep.
I think he might even be the future of the room. I think he might even end up being your starter. But I don't want to have to turn to a true freshman this year if another, you know, knock on wood, Jordan Travis situation happens.
Correct.
So I think he is extremely valuable to your offense this year and also going forward. And I don't think he's going to leave, but I think this is almost can't lose.
Right. Yeah. I want to reiterate for those listening on podcasts or watching YouTube, we don't have any word indication that he wants to leave or that he is leaving. We're just saying that if he were to leave, this would be harmful to the team, to the offensive team. We saw what happened when Jordan Travis went down and Tate, you know, kind of wasn't ready. And then he got ready and then he got knocked out. And then Brock Glenn, true freshman, had to play serious and meaningful time. It just was not good. Luke Kromenhawk could be the next coming of Jameis Winston for all I care, which would be amazing. But Brock has already shown the skill set to really win the job and take the job. You want a true and fair competition when it comes to 2025. You want Brock versus Luke. You want to see them air it out. And then if Luke beats him out, okay, Brock, you can go ahead and transfer. But I really do. I am a big believer in Brock Glenn as a future quarterback of Florida State. I've seen it. I've seen it on the field when he has time to make the read. He can throw the ball deep. He's a mobile quarterback. He's got a beautiful set of hair and mustache. I mean, he's got it all. He's like Sunshine from Remember the Titans. Like he has got it all. He's got all the tools necessary. And I think this is the type of quarterback, when you go back and look at Mike Norvell's past, you look at, I think it was Brady White at Memphis. I mean, this is that type of quarterback. Can throw, can run, can do it all. This is what Norvell shines at. And so I would hate to have to lose that type of player and then have to really put your chips into a redshirt freshman. Basically, you would imagine that Kromenhawk might end up redshirting. So he's a redshirt freshman or a sophomore with not a lot of playing time. So DJU is supposed to be the bridge to get us to Brock, to get us to, you know, that whole competition. So I just think it would be incredibly harmful to the development of the future team if Brock went into the portal.
Right. Yep. Future and now. I think if you had to turn to a freshman, you'd be in trouble. And again, we saw how important it was last year. And I know there's the auto bids now, but not even just from a actual on field, but the perception.
Yep.
If they don't believe in your backup, then you run the risk of getting screwed again or something that. So, yeah, man, I think that one's huge. Again, like we said, no indication that he would leave. He's signed with the Battles in. You know, I think he knows that he's part of the future plans here in Tallahassee. But I think that would be a huge one. It's more of from a standpoint of, I think other teams, would want him more than he would want to leave. But I love the quarterback room. I think you have one of the most talent rich quarterback rooms in the country.
Yep.
You just, Oregon's got they're stacking five stars, but you just feel like they're really talented. You just got to hang on to them right now. Yep. That's really all it is. But that's going to do it for us, guys. As the portal swings open, the madness will begin. Stuff's going to be crazy. You're going to see guys that you don't want to leave. You're going to see guys that you wanted to get that go elsewhere. It's just part of the process. But again, I just want to reiterate that this coaching staff, we've seen names come and we've seen names go, and we've been happy and sad about a few of them, but you have to trust their process because they've never given us a reason not to. And the things that we've said in the show have nothing to do with people actually leaving. It's just looking from a roster standpoint where we think the moves are most likely to come and what Florida State needs to do to go get them. At linebacker, I did mean to touch on this, the UNC Charlotte kid, the Hill Green kid, he is going to be entering the portal. That could be an option to look at there. So that's pretty much going to do it for us, guys. We're just kind of excited and a little nervous to watch the portal season. It's always fun, man. Like you said, it can be, it's like Halloween. It can be a trick or a treat. You just don't ever know which side is going to work out. But luckily, it's usually been in our favor. So hopefully they can have another successful portal session. And, man, it's kind of like Christmas. I mean, when you see guys like Dylan Gibbons that came late in the cycle and Keon Coleman, when it came late in the cycle, you can already be excited about this roster, and it takes one portal edition and you're like, oh man, I'm booking my tickets. Just definitely excited. But we appreciate you guys watching the show. If you watched this long, if you feel inclined to like and subscribe, if you're listening on podcast, we would love a rate and review if you enjoyed the show. Like we said, we will be back this week with a spring game preview to get you guys ready for that as we get our first chance to see this team in person from the fan standpoint. So as always, guys, we appreciate you watching and your support. Make sure to check out Alumni Hall and support those that support us. And we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching. Go Noles.
Go Noles.